This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. There was a procession of emergency vehicles down the snowy streets of Anchorage yesterday to honor fallen Alaska Department of Public Safety Court Services Officer Curtis Worland of Nome. CSO Worland was tragically killed on Tuesday, December 13th, during a muskox attack near Nome. During the attack, he discharged his duty weapon, a Glock 22 40 caliber handgun, multiple times. He is the first court services officer in Alaska to die while on duty and is the 69th Alaska law enforcement officer to die in the line of duty. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game, in coordination with the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, have determined that the muskox that attacked CSO Worland is a public safety threat to the community, and it will be dispatched once located. Efforts to find the muskox are ongoing with Alaska Wildlife Troopers and Alaska Department of Fish and Game personnel. Muskox attacks on humans are incredibly rare in Alaska. However, they are known to attack dogs. This is the first fatal muskox attack in the Nome area that troopers are aware of. The procession accompanied the delivery of CSO Worland's remains from the airport to the medical examiner's office. CSO Worland had been serving the people of Alaska as a court services officer since December 2009. He had worked his entire career at the state trooper post in Nome. The call to service runs deep in the Worland family. Brothers Chris and Charles Worland are both police officers with the Anchorage Police Department. The brothers made their final journey together from Nome to Anchorage. After 32 years of state service, Gail Fanumiai has left her post as director of the Division of Elections. She handled an election year like no other, and as Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, never lost her cool.
Fanumiai is retiring just as Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom takes up her new duties, which include overseeing elections. Fanumiai says the arrival of the new lieutenant governor is coincidental and that no one asked her to resign.
Absolutely not. I started thinking about this in September.
Nationally, doubt in the integrity of elections has threatened the fundamentals of democracy. But in Alaska, Fanumiai just kept going, a steady hand on the rudder, no matter what the wild election year of 2022 threw her way. In March, she learned the slow advance toward the state's first ranked choice election would be a quick sprint due to the death of Congressman Don Young and the sudden need for a special election. In June, she administered the state's first election conducted entirely by mail. In August, 3 months earlier than planned, she directed the first ranked choice election. And as though to further challenge an elections administrator, that special election took place on the same day as the regular primary, which wasn't all that regular because this year it was under new rules. Fanumiai didn't break a sweat.
I didn't personally feel that that was extremely stressful. I think we had a good plan in place.
Her mantra was just to follow the rules as set out in election law. Even if the law is new, even if a special election pops up unexpectedly, even, she says, with extra obligations to educate the public about the new methods of voting.
I'm very proud of all the staff at the division. I think I'm going to go back to the special primary, you know, the first all-by-mail election in the state, a very condensed time frame in which to conduct it, and I think it went very, very well.
Fanumiai hasn't taken a position on whether the system Alaskans adopted in 2020, the nonpartisan primary coupled with a ranked choice general, is good or bad. She's not going to spoil her neutrality by venturing an opinion on the way out the door.
And I think it's really important that whoever's in this job has that neutrality. No partisanship, because this job, there's no room for that at all.
One person who has seen Fanumiai in action for years is Anchorage attorney Scott Kendall, the architect of Ballot Measure 2, which produced ranked choice voting. He says he witnessed peak Fanumiai in 2010 when he represented the U.S. Senate campaign of Lisa Murkowski during her historic write-in campaign.
Gosh, I think it was ultimately 8 days, 10 or 12-hour days, you know, hand-counting write-in ballots.
In a big warehouse in Juneau, Fanumiai personally reviewed thousands of challenged ballots. hour after hour, day after day. Kendall says he never saw her lose her composure. And if she had a personal opinion about the merits of any ballot challenge, she didn't let on.
I would never play poker with Gail Panumiai. She just had this amazing demeanor of, you know, firm and confident, but just never lost her cool, not once.
Panumiai says she has every confidence that Alaska will continue to conduct elections with the highest level of integrity and transparency. She advises any skeptics to sign up to be a poll worker. They'll see how many checks and balances are built in and how passionate the division staffers are about doing the job right. As for Panumiai, now that her state service is over, she plans to volunteer at her church. She's interested in the food pantry and maybe the summer lunch program. Work always had to come first, but now she can set other priorities. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
This week, Governor Mike Dunleavy is set to unveil his first budget plan of his second term. Accompanying that plan will be a significantly smaller state revenue forecast. The Alaska Beacon reports that preliminary indications are that the state will have less than $7 billion to spend, a significant decrease from last year's budget of $8.3 billion. Oil revenue accounts for about a third of the state's general purpose income, and since 2019, the state has relied on a five-day average of global oil futures markets to estimate the future price of Alaska oil. The future market is an auction for oil to be delivered on a future date. Those markets now indicate a price in the high $70 or low $80 per barrel, well below expectations earlier this year and lower than an interim estimate 1 month ago. This spring, the Alaska Department of Revenue predicted $3.5 billion in unrestricted petroleum revenue for the budget. Now, based on the price of oil, the forecast is expected to be in the range of $2.7 billion. Kids in Scammon Bay welcomed a special guest a little bit earlier this year. KYUK's Nina Kravinsky was there.
Santa sits under the basketball net in the Scammon Bay School Gym. Mrs. Claus is with him too, of course. During his recent visit to the community of around 600 near the Bering Sea coast, he ditched his sleigh in favor of a different method of transportation. One of the Alaska National Guard's Black Hawk helicopters. This is the Guard's Operation Santa event, annual visits transporting Santa to rural Alaska communities.
Once you come to Scammon, you'll never go back to regular.
Here in Scammon Bay, the school is perched on a hill, and it looks down on a white expanse of frozen tundra. The building is full of excitement, even from grown-ups like Gabriel Wilson. He holds a daughter in each arm. The girls just took a photo with the Clauses.
It was fun watching my kids. It was a real joy.
His four-year-old, Linnea, got to confirm some of her suspicions about Santa.
One of her questions before we came up, she asked, is he going to have a big belly?
Does he have a big belly?
Yeah.
This year, the helicopter brought nearly 1 ton of goodies provided by the Salvation Army to Scammon Bay.
Present.
Kids and their families got backpacks full of gifts like school supplies, books, and stuffed animals.
I can't wait for presents.
Alaska National Guard Black Hawk pilot Cade Cross joined the Clauses in Scammon Bay.
We take part in this because it's our way of kind of giving back to the community that we're a part of and really showing that we are committed to everybody. It doesn't matter if you live in Anchorage or you live as far out on the West Coast, out in Scammon Bay, that we're going to be able to get out there and support you. And we're just really here for people of Alaska.
The visit from Santa was also an opportunity for a group of curious middle schoolers to get their questions in.
Do you have a naughty list?
Do I have a what?
Naughty list.
Of course.
Yes, there's a naughty list.
The Clauses were strapped back into the Black Hawk by late afternoon. It's the busy season at the North Pole, after all. In Scammon Bay, I'm Nina Kravinsky.
This is KYUK News. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Kuyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.